Hello everyone, hope you're all doing great. I just wanted to share this quickly before the video starts. You have to be very careful of your thoughts throughout the day. Remember that life's just one big psychological warfare on yourself, where only you have the power to dictate where it takes you. You could let it overrule you and let your weaknesses consume you, or you can be stronger than that. And be careful of your thoughts and make sure that you don't get into ruminating thought patterns. Because for me, when I used to just let my thoughts go wherever, they would just spiral downwards and it made me feel quite down and depressed. So you have to be very careful. Honestly, it will change your life if you really get on top of it. And if you're challenging your mind to be stronger every day. And one thing I found that's really helping me is I write down every day 3 good things that happened and why they were good. It's not my idea, it's one I saw from the Dr. Mike channel, who I really like watching. But basically, you just write down something that went well and exactly why it was good. And it doesn't have to be a big thing, like it could just be eating like chocolate because it tastes nice, but it does make a difference. The thing is, it's lots of little things and changes that you make that will make the difference overall and make you a lot happier. So hopefully that can help some of you out there. And remember, if you suffer with mental health issues, you're not alone. Even if it's just me that you're aware of that suffers too. Remember that you're not alone in it. I love you and enjoy these stories. Oh, and make sure you check out the podcast in the description and my Instagram at Joe the Insomniac. This happened over 20 years ago. I was driving back home with my girlfriend at the time. It's Christmas Eve. And my mother's family used to hold a large celebration at my aunt's house in Estacada. This was my girlfriend's first time meeting with my extended family, but they get on quite well. We spent the majority of the afternoon and evening talking, playing poker, opening presents, and drinking an assortment of adult beverages. My girlfriend's drank a bit by the time we have to leave, so I'm gonna be driving. It was around 11 p.m. or so. I was driving my girlfriend's car along Highway 211. Now this stretch of road is surrounded by farms and dense patches of forest and parts of it are unlit. But nothing to fear. I grew up in the area so I know this road like the back of my hand. The both of us were just driving and talking away. Just two young lovers making the most of our moment together. This is a proportion of the highway that descends down an enormous hill before crossing Deep Creek. Surrounding both sides of the road are thick forests. There's no lights. The only thing we could see was the area directly in front of the headlights. I drive down the hill, cross the bridge, and uphill through the forest. It's as the highway starts to flatten out that it happens. Something sprints across the road so suddenly that I almost hit it. I slam on the brakes, turn to my girlfriend and say if you saw it. She confirmed she had. But she couldn't make out what it was, maybe a coyote, as they're fairly common. But something felt off about it. Whatever this was, ran in front of the car, disappearing into the woods next to the road. Coyotes don't usually dart in front of cars, not how that thing did. For some reason, I decide to check it out. I turn the car around and switch on the high beams to better light up the forest in which this thing has vanished in. I step out of the car, walking towards the woods. I don't see anything, but now it feels like perhaps I've made a grave error. My heart's pounding, the hairs on the back of my neck and chest stand up. But I still don't see anything unusual. Suddenly, the car horn blasts. It's not a beep beep that you'd get if, say, your driver or passenger wants you to hurry up. This was long and blaring. I walk back into the car and ask my girlfriend why she did that. She said nothing, instead pointing to a spot about 50 feet from where I was. I looked over in that direction, and then I saw it. Surely, this is the thing that ran in front of the car. It's a man, naked. His skin was covered in dirt and mud, and in his hands he's holding a hatchet. He looked at us, and then he smiled and waved, before turning around going back to the forest. Needless to say, We got the hell out of there. Once we were driving again safely, my girlfriend explained what happened. While I was trying to look for the man in the area he initially vanished in, he circled back around the spot where he came out from, beyond my car headlights, and my girlfriend saw something out of the corner of her eye. That's when she saw him, before blaring on the horn. He was walking towards me, hatchet raised, as though he's about to strike me. We called the authorities once we got back safely home, and they never found anyone. Or? They did and just didn't tell us. But the officer we spoke to explained his theory that the man's obviously looking to ambush unsuspecting lone travellers for God knows what. We agreed that my girlfriend's quick thinking probably saved my life. I moved back into the area recently, so I now drive that highway often. I haven't seen him again yet, but I can tell you that I'm definitely extra vigilant now, especially near Deep Creek. It was a few years back. I was home alone with my daughter, who was basically a newborn. She was asleep in her bassinet beside her bed. I was in my old house, alone, and my ex-husband was working nights. My bathroom was on the second floor. It was around midnight when I woke up to give my daughter a bottle as she settled back to sleep. I laid in bed scrolling on my phone trying to get tired again. I'm cautious about believing things people post to Facebook without sources, but a few people had made the same post and I come across an article stating there was a murderer on the run. He killed a man in the next town over from me and was currently on the run. It said they're advising people to stay inside, lock their doors, and some people were even receiving phone calls. Stuff like this was very rare happening where I lived, so of course I'm scared. I text my ex-husband who was at work, but he told me that I should just be cautious, and I fall asleep. I'm not sure how long I was asleep for, but I suddenly woke up because officers on the scanner were screaming shots fired. And then, I had a hard time distinguishing what I heard on my phone and what was going on outside. The rapid gunfire started and sounded like it was right in the street outside my window. It took me a moment to register the shots, as I've never really heard gunshots before, and time feels as though it really slowed down as I roll out of bed grabbing my daughter. I remembered running into the hallway in what feels like slow motion, blurry tunnel vision with her, away from all the windows screaming, "What is happening?" in my head. I shakily dialed my ex-husband who's at work and he doesn't really believe what's going on, so I yell and call my mum. I wanted someone to talk to. I don't want to feel so scared and alone. I kept telling her that there's a shooting and I'm crying. So maybe she doesn't understand exactly what I'm saying. I don't remember, because I suddenly hung up and put my phone on the floor. I stayed in the hallway for God knows how long, holding on to my daughter, who somehow slept through all of the chaos. My body is on vibrate. Sometime later, my phone was ringing and it's my mum. I could barely focus enough to listen, but I thought she told me that she was coming over, so I told her to stay home, where she's safe. She was yelling at me that she's already on the road, but the police have blocked it off. She tells them that she's my daughter and that I live here and they let her come. They had shot the suspect. My mum then comes up to the house and she can see some wet, muddy footprints coming up the steps, smeared on the door as though it's been kicked. I was wondering if that's what woke me up. By the time my mum got to the house and came inside, it's 5 a.m. It was winter, so it's still pitch black out. We sat quietly in the bright kitchen, tiredly sipping coffee, and passing my daughter back and forth. My ex-husband now arrives after, believing everything once he saw all the cops and the road blocked off. Long story short, this man actually killed someone in the next town over from me, about 5 or 3 minutes away, ran to my town, through my backyard to the road through the trees, killed another person in the house in the back of me. That's when the cops showed up and he began to fire at them, so they shot him. He laid there, in a measly patch of woods in the back of my house. I had goosebumps thinking of this murder taking place around me as I laid in bed, so vulnerable. When my mum left and my ex-husband put our daughter back to bed, I stepped outside on the back porch to smoke a cigarette. I stood there smoking, watching all the lights, a stark contrast to the early morning grey. Later on in the afternoon, I ended up having to block multiple news reporters from harassing me for my story. I told them I had no problem telling them my story in detail, but I don't want to be televised. I had no sleep, and had my daughter with me. They said they wanted her on camera too. After denying them that, they kept asking if I was at work, if they could come to me and interview me there, so I ended up blocking them and moving on with my life. This experience occurred when I was 15/16. I was also with a friend of about the same age and his dad. We're in the woods behind our houses. We went back into those woods many times to hike around and play paintball. One day, we decide to go a little deeper into the woods to check it out. A little background is that this is an old growth slash forest that's protected with wetlands that are a few square miles. For a while, we're wandering along. It was mid slash late spring, so the forest was pretty lush and green, when one of us sees a small patch of white coming through the woods. It stood out pretty easily in contrast to the leaves, so we decide to investigate, and the three of us headed off in the direction towards this mysterious white spot coming through the leaves. If you ever walked through the dense woods, you'll know it's difficult to walk in a straight line because of fallen logs and brush. Anyway, we kept walking towards this object for what feels like an eternity. But this object still hadn't come into focus yet. It appears to be a white bowl, and it's just as far away as when we first spot it. We didn't think much of it at this point. At least I didn't. We continue walking in this thing's direction. It must have happened 2 or 3 times that we'd walk towards this thing for a few minutes, stop, and notice we're not getting any closer. By this point, I think there was a little tension building up, but nothing out of the ordinary, really. At some point, though, as we think we're getting closer, we realise the object's starting to fill out a bit. We can clearly see now it's a tiny white house on a hill. I say the structure's about the size of a shed where you might keep a lawnmower. We were excited because how often do you come across something like that? It's still a little bit away, but again, very obvious that this little house is what we'd seen before and were walking towards. So as we're continuing toward this little house, we lose it from sight momentarily as we go up and over another hill in front of it, but as soon as we get to the top of the hill, the small white house is gone. We're confused as hell, looking at each other, but keep walking to the hill we had previously seen the house on. The last part happens pretty quickly. We get to the top of the hill, still looking at the other hill close by to see if maybe we just got turned around or something, and we'd seen the little house until one of us notices an old foundation on the ground at the top of this hill, exactly where the house had been. The shape of the foundation is exactly that of the size of the mysterious vanishing house. I barely had time to notice the foundation when all three of us heard a growling sound that got louder until it was as loud as a chainsaw. Nothing was said, but the three of us, including my friend's dad, sprint out of the woods in the direction we came. I don't recall ever discussing what happened with the other two. Since this happened, I tried looking on Google Maps for some kind of indication of where the house was, but I can't find it. Around 1.5 years ago, I told my brother what happened and we went back into the woods looking for the house or foundation, but we don't find anything. Although, our search wasn't very thorough because it's winter and cold, and there's snow on the ground. My family travelled to British Columbia for my aunt's wedding. I was a flower girl, and the wedding took place at a remote church ground beside the ocean with beautiful docks. The wedding went off with no issues. I tossed some flowers and scratch at my itchy dress. Following the ceremony, everybody come outside to do photos on the docks. I got distracted playing in the dirt while my wedding party moved down the dock without me. My mum, of course, is distracted talking to her sister, and I was usually glued to her side anyway. While I was drawing in the dirt with a stick, a man in a suit approaches me. He didn't look dangerous, and said he was a cousin or something of my now uncle. He looked familiar to me, but I don't know why. He said my mum and aunt asked him to watch me while they took photos and stuff. I don't know better. So he took my hand and began walking me back to, not the church where the reception would be, towards a dirt road leading out of the property near the woods. Now, everything went fine and dandy, and we're now almost off a road where a tree line blocks the exit. I heard my mum scream, "Don't you touch my daughter," and turned around to see her running down the dock towards us. Now for context, my mum's a heavier woman, and that's the fastest I've ever seen her run in my life. She looks like she's absolutely foaming at the mouth. The man squeezed my hand like he was gonna make a break for it, though I'd guess that he decided otherwise when he saw the rest of the guests and my mum screaming towards him, and he makes a beeline. He jumps into the woods beside the dirt road. Nobody recognized him, and when the police came, there wasn't much they could do because a statement from a scared 6-year-old isn't very useful. The police ended up asking everyone to come and sit and try and figure out exactly where he went. My mum stays glued to me. It dawned on me, we were going to the back of the hotel, and I've seen him looming about the swimming pool before. Apparently, he was eavesdropping and somehow found out they were going to the wedding. I told my mum and she's furious. She went to the hotel desk and got me to tell them what happened and what he looks like. With the key information that he was wearing a suit, they told us he already checked out in a hurry and left. They said that they're gonna file a police report with the information he provided, though he paid for the room with cash, so there was no way of really tracking him. My mum decides to take us to another hotel on the opposite side of town. The police never followed up with her, and a few days later, we went back to my home province. I never understood how much danger I was in until I got a little older. I hike a lot, and this past winter, I saw footprints I couldn't explain. I live in Arizona, not far from the Navajo Reservation. I'm Navajo. In the middle of nowhere, there are ruins of an abandoned house. There is no roof, just adobe walls, a dried up old well, and a dilapidated travel trailer. Somebody broke into the travel trailer a long time ago, and pack rats built nests inside the trailer. I've never been inside the trailer because I avoid mouse drop-ins due to my fears. I don't want to get hantavirus. I use the abandoned house and trailer as my landmarks for my hikes. So this past winter, I went on a hike at the abandoned homestead, and I saw footprints of a small child. No adults anywhere. The footprints were about 5 inches long and 3 inches wide, and they looked like the soles of sneakers or something a child is gonna wear. I also saw evidence that the child dug around inside the travel trailer, taking out things from within. There was a hedgehog, well, not... There was a hodgepodge of household items that had been lined up neatly in a row. Steel skillet, hammer, roofing nails, old Coleman fuel containers, old-fashioned glass bottles, etc., wondering if I was seeing the tracks of a runaway or lost child. I decided to track the footprints across the plains and up the side of a maze. 3 miles away, the tracks intersect a dirt road. At the dirt road, I found tire tracks from a car. The car was parked parallel to the dirt road. The child's footprints walked to the driver's side of the car and got in. The car tracks then did a 3-point turn and head back in the opposite direction. Confused about the tracks, I visit my elder. I relay my story, and my elder offered an explanation. He told me I tracked a skinwalker. He also told me that they have the ability to change form and make smaller footprints. He told me the story of how it works, and it terrified me. He said the skinwalker was probably looking for something in the ruins or tracking me. This happened a few years ago with my friend June when we're maybe 17 or 18. I'm 23 now. We're out driving around late at night on country back roads. We were teenagers growing up in a rural area, so going for a drive was one of the main pastimes. We were both into goth stuff and witchcraft at the time, so we pulled off to the side of the road to walk around a small graveyard in the woods. It was impossible to see at night, but we'd gone there a few times in the day before just to hang out. The whole area is heavily forested, but the path to the graveyard is short. It's right next to the road, just barely hidden in the woods. So we started slowly walking on the small loop that takes you around all the gravestones. We're using our flashlights at the time. We're looking at all of the names on the stones. I was very comfortable being by graveyards at night. I'm very relaxed, honestly. We mused about ghosts and deaths and whatnot, as goth teenagers do. About halfway around the loop, at the furthest point from the car, June got my attention as she notices a light in the woods. It looked far away, like it could have been a car on the road, so we turned away and kept walking. However, about 30 seconds later, she got my attention again. The light was much closer, and obviously moving quickly towards us. And then, I heard the sound of somebody crashing through the woods. It's blatantly obvious now that somebody's coming towards us. They're making a beeline, they backtrack, and so do we run into the car. I unlock it and climbed into the car as fast as I can, and right before the light come on, this huge grisly looking man, dressed from head to toe in camouflage, comes busting out of the foliage and coming right for the car. He's armed with a crossbow and literally sprinting at us, screaming. He's clearly off his head. I reverse as quickly as I could and peel out of there. We don't stop driving for a while, even though we both never saw him following after us when we drive off. We both can't shake the feeling that we're being followed. Finally, I think we both got too tired to stay out any longer, and we went back to our home. I really can't stop thinking about just how quickly he actually got to us. The fact that we're pretty much in the middle of nowhere, and this person is waiting in the woods in full hunting gear with a crossbow, and we're clearly not animals. As we had a flashlight, there's no trespassing signs anywhere. The whole area is around a graveyard. It's obvious that we're not meant to be there, but he definitely wasn't hunting. I got out into the woods and into weird places in the night a lot, and I've seen some weird stuff I would consider supernatural, but this is the one thing that really scared the life out of me. None of these things ever made me afraid to go into the woods like he did. I had my best friend. We'd always go for walks in the forest together. My friend wasn't very well at the time. He had an autoimmune illness, so I had to stay far away from him when we were talking and walking. This was great because it meant that he was unlikely to catch any illness that I potentially had, but kind of scary if you're going through the woods close to night. It didn't matter though. We're both young men who are fairly big, so we didn't really care too much. Call it blind luck that we never ran into anyone until this event. But I was very confident going into the woods. Now we start talking about life and we're just having a good time generally when we decide to sit on some logs and continue our conversation. My buddy turns off his headlamp for a bit to try and save some energy, and I do the same because last time my headlamp went off and it is only because of his that we're able to get out again. As we do so, we suddenly hear steps around us. Neither of us actually reacted at first because we both assumed that one another were moving. It's only a few moments later when our eyes can adjust in the darkness that we realize it's not one another. Now, we both give each other a blank stare when we realize this. It sounds like there's loads of people running in circles around us, but there's literally no one. Like that, we both flick on our headlights, and just as mine comes on, I catch the glimmer of a very tall shadowy figure by a tree. That's enough time for me to let out a scream, and my buddy sees the exact same thing I do. The craziest part is that you can't see through this thing. The light shines directly on it and there's nothing behind it, and it's slowly coming towards us. We both pick up our bottles and start sprinting as quick as we possibly can back to my friend's car. We both feel like we're about to have a heart attack, but we're safe now. We're both trying to say what the hell was that thing we just saw. And as we do so, we can hear them footsteps again. This time, sounding like they're closer than before. We both got straight into his car and sped out of there like there was no tomorrow. To this day, we've never seen anything like it. I mean, we never went back to them woods again for a start. But I can't find that many people that have had similar experiences to us. All I know is that it scared the life out of me, and I'm glad I was not alone when this happened. I used to live with my mum and dad on different weekends when I was younger. My dad had a really cool house that was kind of in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by very dense forests and woods. I used to love it here. I was visiting him one particular weekend in the summer, and it was really nice out. I was wearing sun cream because I can get tanned really easily and then burned. Now I was just listening to music near some trees when I suddenly hear a sound behind me. I haven't realized how dark it's gotten, but there's a strange dog looking at me that I've never seen before. I'm kind of scared of dogs, so I really don't like this, and I start to back up. As I do, rain starts falling on me. I don't really notice it because I'm scared of the dog. Now I suddenly remember the rumors that my friends have told me to try and scare me, that this area was used for satanic rituals and that sometimes they see people dressed in robes here. I'm very scared now and my palms are sweating as I try and turn my phone off so I can concentrate more and be aware of dangers. I then hear something whisper next to me. I look to my left, and I'm not kidding, I can see multiple things hanging in the trees. They look almost like robed figures, but they're far too dark. It's impossibly black what they're wearing. It's almost like no light escapes from them. Tears fill my eyes as I don't know if what I'm seeing is real or if I'm having some kind of psychotic episode. I know it can't be this because I'm fully conscious and I've never had any mental history. I turn back and begin sprinting, not knowing what on earth I've just seen. I sprint back inside and scream for my dad. He then comes down and says, "Hey, what were you hanging up in the trees?" I scream out what happened, and he goes to grab his gun. We both sprint out there and can't find anything. 2 weeks later, my dad left that house and we ended up moving county. Now, I'm not somebody who really believes in the paranormal or all of the satanic stuff, but I wouldn't have thought much of this story if it was only me that it happened to, but the fact that my dad had seen them things in the trees too is what truly terrifies me. I grew up in a very small town in Metro Detroit. Back in 2006, when I was 16, I would take my family dog for a walk every day. He was a Portuguese water dog, and often people would stop and say, "What kind of dog is he?" This particular time, an older man, probably late 40s or early 50s, in a white van of course, pulled up next to me saying, "What kind of dog is he?" I told him kindly that he's a Portuguese water dog. Not at all surprised by the question, he proceeds to try and converse in a small talk with trees around him, looking around anxiously. As I would answer, I noticed he's not paying attention to me. He was almost undressing me with his eyes. He had a look in his eyes, almost like he was getting ready to pounce. I don't know how else to explain it, but to this day, no one's ever looked at me the same. That's when the alarm bells went off to get away from him. I literally turned around mid-sentence and start panic walking opposite to where he is. I go to my left as I know he can't follow me unless he gets out. As I walk away, he screams, "Hey, where you going?" I pretend not to hear him. My mum ingrained in my head to always trust my gut. Something about the guy felt off and really scared me. I tried searching for kidnappers / serial killers who drove around in white vans in 2006, but I haven't found anything yet. I often think about what could have happened if I'd fallen into the whole idea of being polite, the way women are forced to think. Let this be a reminder to parents to tell your daughters always to be cautious around weird people and to trust your gut. So this happened a couple of years ago. We used to live in a house up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere. The only neighbor we had wasn't that close from our home, so there's literally no one around. This happened on a Sunday. I had my daughter, she was 13, come in for the weekend and she was sleeping upstairs. I was in the living room watching TV when I decided to go outside to look at the stars. The thing is that I had to let my door semi-open because there's only one handle and the other side of the door can only be opened with a key. I'm outside stargazing for about 5 minutes and I felt like I could smell a weird smell. I went back inside, it's 3 a.m. and I decide to sleep. I then woke up at 6 a.m. I could see the sunrise. So, I decide to open my window as it's extremely hot and stand up at the edge of the window. Suddenly, I felt like a hand was pushing me in my back. I got pushed from my window by someone. Thing is, it's only me and my daughter in the house and I got pushed out of my own house by a stranger. Since the window was closed, I couldn't open the door either because I don't have the keys. I knew that my neighbor is a locksmith, so I subsequently rushed into his house, woke him up, explained the situation. He took his stuff and came with me to my home. Now I'll tell you what my daughter told me. She told me that she could hear an old man coughing that she didn't recognize, so she instantly went into the bathroom and hid with the door closed. She then starts a tap running and phones the police. My neighbor managed to open the door. We rushed upstairs whilst going upstairs. I see a knife missing from my knife set. When we went upstairs to the door, we see my daughters there. And we turn on the lights and see an old man with a hood holding one of my knives waiting in the front of the bathroom door. My neighbor and I beat the life out of him and wait for the police to arrest him. And after that, we move to another county. This happened a couple of summers ago as my boyfriend and I were driving home along a remote Forest Service road in British Columbia, Canada, returning from a camping trip. Now, we're pretty familiar with that area that we're in, haven't been there several times before. Typically, the only people we encounter out there are a good 70 kilometers away and are fellow campers in off-road vehicles or logging trucks on the job. This particular day is beautiful, sunny and warm, mid-June. We were bumping down the road at a good clip when we saw a man coming out of the bush and begins frantically waving at us. It's very odd. We slow down and come to a stop. With my boyfriend rolling down the window to see what this guy had to say. I was in the passenger seat, and as soon as we slowed down, I picked up a weird vibe. He's wearing a blue plaid construction worker's flannel coat, much too heavy for the warm weather, with khaki pants and work boots, with clean shaven, messy brown hair, pale skin, and large glasses, maybe 50 years old. Let me stress how unusual it is to run into somebody up there without a vehicle. The guy was fairly soft-spoken and calm, almost robotically. He tells us that, "Hey, my battery's dead. Can I have a jump?" "Sure," we say. We believe in road karma and always want to help out. The trouble is, we're in the brush. "Where is the car?" He said he's been fishing all day too, and had the radio playing, and that's why it's dead. His car is down in a very overgrown side of the road, a little further up the main road. He walks ahead while we slowly follow behind him in our truck. Both my boyfriend and I are a little weirded out. We joke around to each other as we're following him that we hope he's not luring us to our death. Except, I legit felt on edge. And the joke isn't that funny. We follow him about 150 meters down the overgrown side of the road into a heavily overgrown area full of trees. Now, we would never have noticed this. It's just wide enough for about four cars to park side by side. He points it out to us because the bushes had nearly covered the entrance. Sure enough, a car is there. An older model, big Chevy car that looks very unsuited to the logging roads. The trunk is open for some reason, and a blanket is taped over it. The hood was already popped up, so my boyfriend grabs the jump lead and begins to fix the cables. Meanwhile, I swung my leg over the center console and slid into the driver's seat. I felt very uneasy and look around to the cab to see if there's anything I can use as a weapon. All the while telling myself I'm being silly, but nonetheless, I wanted to be ready to act if something happened. The guy then chats with my boyfriend, jovially, telling him about his buddy who he went fishing with, but who went ahead without him, but his friendliness seems forced. He stood back, allowing my boyfriend to do everything, lingering behind him, watching while my boyfriend got the car batteries hooked up. There's an awkward pause when my boyfriend had to prompt the guy to get back into his car to crank it over. Throughout this, I sat in the driver's seat watching, feeling tense. The car fired up easily, and the guy got back out of the driver's seat. He said thank you in an oddly intense way. My boyfriend removed the cables and hopped into the passenger seat without bothering to put them away properly. The very moment the passenger's doors closed, I was reversing back down the narrow side road with branches scraping across both sides of our car. We got onto the main road within moments and went our way. My boyfriend told me that the guy watches us the entire time. It could have been just a socially awkward guy with a legit dead battery, but I can't help feel this guy's intentions were more sinister. The fact that I stayed vigilant in the car and my boyfriend was there probably stopped anything happening. Also, my boyfriend told me that he doesn't believe the battery was dead. We don't see any fishing gear and the guy doesn't move after. He was lying about being in a rush to get out of there. He's just watching us leave with a weird smile on his face. I don't know what was up that day, but I'm sure glad I didn't have to find out what his actual intentions were. In the mid-80s, my mum worked at my school, in a different class to me when I was in nursery. To get to school, She always took a shortcut over the heath. About 2 weeks earlier, there was a local girl who actually went missing. The last time someone saw her, she was over the heath. My mum said she wasn't concerned by this as she grew up over there, and it's summer in the middle of the day, and the route she took was quite busy with other people walking dogs and golf ball in. Now one day, my mum set off. Halfway to school, she stops thinking she was being stared at. She looked over her shoulder, and at the top of the hill she just walked down, there's a very large man in biker's leathers and a helmet. She said she couldn't see his face, and that made her feel very uneasy, knowing she's being watched. She said it was funny because she hadn't seen him coming down the hill or heard him, but there was a heavily wooded area opposite the hill, and my mum said that she thought that he might have walked through there, but he wasn't riding his bike. That would explain why she hadn't seen him there before. My mum said she felt uneasy by the stillness and interest, so she starts walking faster to put a healthy distance between them. On the way home later that day, she decided to go on the bus instead of walking. And a week later, the body of the teenage girl was discovered by a dog walker in the same wooded area opposite that hill where the biker man had been watching. There was a police search and they appealed for information and witnesses. My mum contacted them making a statement. The police never solved the murder of the poor girl, but I'm certain that was the one who did it. This story happened when I was in college. There was something about my early years in college that just seemed to bring a range of experiences that ranged from creepy to terrifying. I don't know what it was about that time in my life. This experience is somewhere in the middle of that. Anyway, one night at the beginning of the summer, following my freshman year of college, some of my high school friends and I were going to a party. We hadn't seen each other a ton, and we're all just away at college, mostly during school breaks and a few random weekends we actually see each other. I wouldn't have normally gone to this party, hosted by someone else we went to high school with, but they all wanted to go, and I want to hang out, so agree. This is not the mistake part of the story, that's going to come later. We got to the party, and we realized it was almost exclusively people from high school, which is kind of nice, almost like a big reunion. Soon my prior inhibitions were gone, and that was only partially because I started throwing back screwdrivers the moment I got there. A couple of hours later, I was more than tipsy, full on drunk, totally plastered, which would yet prove to be my grace. After a while, a group of friends decide to split off, and host of the party, Stephanie, lives with her parents, and it's in the middle of nowhere where this is being held. There's forest all around us. Forests at night both scare and thrill me, so drunk me suggested that we go exploring. This is something my friends would not let me live down. To this group, Lauren, Hillary, Jared, Alex, Hugo, Dean, hostess Stephanie, and obviously myself decide to go on a midnight walk through the woods. It was pretty creepy, not gonna lie, but in a cool way. At least I thought so. A couple people in the group, namely Hillary and Alex, were pretty afraid, but some of the people here keep on making comments about how that they're being creeped out, but I say not to worry and enjoy it. We walk through the forest for a bit, and then we come into this clearing with a lake and dock and tall grasses and stuff, plus a shed, and what turned out to be a boathouse, both of which had seen better days. Now, Stephanie and I weren't exceedingly close, so this was my first time exploring the forest, but Dean and Hugo had before and remembered it. They mentioned that this isn't part of the property and we shouldn't be here. It was like suddenly Stephanie realized where we were, and her eyes got super wide and she looks nervous, or more worried that we're gonna get in trouble. I told her everything was fine since you can just trust the judgment of a drunk person and because everyone else is drunk, and they will agree with me, except for Steph, but she was outnumbered and not okay with going back alone. I suggest to play hide and seek, and almost everyone agreed. Honestly, I don't know why people were listening to me. If we're sober, this wouldn't have happened. Now, Hugo was forced to be it, because we're idiots and said he didn't have a choice. So, he went into the woods and counted while we all ran and hid. I see Dean dart into a shed, but everyone else ran into the woods. I decide to duck down in the tall grass, which varied in height. Sometimes I could kneel, and sometimes I had to be on my belly to be concealed. I heard voices from the trees nearby, whispers like speakers were trying not to be heard. I was curious, so I made my way there, first on my hands and knees, then eventually army crawling as the grass got shorter. I nearly crapped myself when I ran into Stephanie in the grass, who turned out to be doing the exact same thing as me. As we got closer, we realized that it was Lauren and Jared. We're laying there for a little bit, then we hear somebody running through the grass, heart pounding. I turned to see who it was, and Hugo threw himself down next to Stephanie looking terrified. I whisper hiss because there was no way he'd counted as high as we told him. He looked around frantically and told us what he had seen. I'll never forget this because of the sheer terror in his face and voice. "Someone's in the woods," he told us. Stephanie tried to tell him that it's probably someone else we knew, but he said no. He saw the guy hide behind a tree, and he seemed to be in his 40s. He said the guy looked rough too, and he had a very bad feeling about it, so he booked it. It was basically by chance that he found me and Stephanie. "He's looking for someone, or something," he said, telling us that the guy was shining a flashlight too. As if on cue, someone came walking out of the woods and called out, "Jim, you out here?" angrily. This isn't right, and it's about to get worse. That's when we saw the shadow of someone throwing a boat down the lake towards the dock. The first guy walks onto the dock to meet this guy. He then demanded, "Where is he?" The first guy sounded angry, like he was expecting someone else to be here. He then said to his friend, "Yep, I messed up." They proceed to argue, and though I can't hear what they're saying, they're furious at each other. I was worried about the fact that we were so close to them, and they were doing some pretty dodgy things. We need to get out of there. I knew that, but Dean was still in the shed, which was close enough to the boathouse to comfort the given situation. Lauren and Jared are oblivious to the situation. Then we heard someone running through the woods, but like they were trying to do so quietly, I turn and see Hillary. It looked like she was trying to find somewhere else to hide, unaware of what's happening. And with that, I saw her run towards the boathouse, like time stopped, and I didn't know what to do. Honestly, I froze, but Hillary hesitated when she got to the door. She would later tell us that she heard voices inside, and then the door swung open. Hillary was now hiding behind the open door. The first guy stood in the doorway looking around. He must have heard Hillary, who was not being nearly as quiet as she thought she was. If he closed that door from the outside, he'd see Hillary, and then we'd be well and truly out for it. Luckily, he slams the door again, looking more angry. We had to get out of there, but we still had to get Dean, Lauren, and Jared and find Alex. We didn't have a lot of time to think, so we had to be fast. Suddenly, we see Hillary sprinting towards us. Dean emerges from the shed, and Lauren and Jared suddenly appear too. Alas, two men from the boathouse heard us too, come running out. They're all sprinting. I've never seen anything like it before. All of us run too. At some points, I start to fall but manage to stay up. The guys chase us for a while too. We kept running until we got back to Stephanie's house. The party was still going on, and the men hadn't followed us all the way back. Not beyond the woods at least, but we're still pretty scared, I call my brother to pick me up as soon as possible. We spent the night at my brother's house that night, and then we went back to Steph's house the next day to clean up. Now, I did want to go back to investigate at a later date, but for some reason, they moved houses very shortly after, so I never actually found out who they were or why they were chasing us.